Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello there. You're listening to the Alt in Our Stars podcast, Billboard's weekly alternative music themed podcast. I'm your host, Chris Payne. I like to use that term alternative pretty loosely. Open to all sorts of genres here on the Alt in Our Stars podcast. I spend a decent amount of time thinking about what the word alternative even really means today, because I'm a music journalist and I think about things like that. And I really enjoy bringing artists who maybe you haven't really heard of much yet from onto the podcast. And I hope I do something like that with my guest this week. Her name is Monica, and she's a pretty big star where she comes from, and that is the country of Greece. She's just putting out her first album in the United States. It's called Secret in the Dark, and it's out on Other Music Records, same record label put out by the store Other Music in New York City. And I really had a good time talking to Monica. She's a fun interview. She seems really, really excited to be putting out her first album in America. And, you know, I just really enjoy having guests on from other countries, learning about what it's like having a life in music in other places. Actually, at the very end of this podcast, I just throw out some names of songs that are popular in Greece that I've never heard of and asked her what she thought of the songs. And she had some pretty impassioned responses to the music industry in Greece. And I feel like I really learned a lot from this podcast, had even a little language lesson in Greek from Monica. So yeah, I hope you enjoy this one. And as always, I welcome any feedback you have, positive or negative. It's always really helpful. What's most helpful is if you could hop on iTunes and rate the podcast, give us a star rating. That would be excellent. But really, anything you can send my way as far as feedback is very beneficial. So if you want to send an email, that email address is chris.payne@billboard.com. That's chris.payne. Or you can hit me up on Twitter at cpayneonaplane, CPAYNEONAPLANE. Anyways, I hope you enjoy Monica on the Alt in Our Stars podcast. Yeah, so I just said we should continue that conversation we were having.
All right.
We're talking about working your album in America. And yeah, so you're saying you picked up English.
Yes.
But you did not learn it in school. So how did you learn English?
It's basically music and movies. It's all about
okay.
Entertainment lessons.
So, what were the music and movies, and what time of your life was this when this happened?
Actually, I happened to grow up in a family that they were fanatic of listening to music and actually doing a lot of traveling. So, my dad is a doctor, so we had to go to conferences all around Europe since my childhood, like since I was 5 years old. And also, my brother lived abroad, so I had I have to move around all the time. And basically, my brother introduced me to the rock scene of Greece. Mm-hmm. And all the bands there, they sing English. Actually, it's the it's the main language of singing. So yeah, actually, concerts, traveling, and music were the main reason. Actually, when I started writing music, I decided to be English. I didn't actually decide it. It just, you know, came out.
Yeah. And so it seems like this was kind of over time.
Yes.
Gradual learning English then.
Yes. But at the same time, English is something like, you know, it's like a different reality for me because I'm Greek. I speak Greek in my everyday life. And English is like my musical world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can be whoever I want. I can do whatever. And English language is so charming, so beautiful because it's simple. You know, it's direct.
Why do you think it's simple and direct?
Because you can tell the you know, the simplest thing, the most beautiful thing in a few words. In Greece, Greek language is amazing, but there's such a variety, which I love. But, you know, it has to be special in order to be sound interesting.
Huh. Mm. So more descriptive or more like figures of speech, is that
yes.
what you mean?
Yes.
Huh.
Especially in music. I mean, if you translate my English songs into Greek, they're horrible. They're terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is when people write about music, like people like me, when they write about music in Greece, people in the press, journalists, is it much like you're saying, is it with a lot more words?
Yes.
Very descriptive.
Yes. And also the main question to all these interviews is why English?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you know, Greek language is amazing. But they use a lot of details.
So they'll ask you like, yo, why are you singing in English?
Yeah, why? I mean,
you gotta explain yourself.
Yeah, I gotta explain myself. And it's kind of funny because, you know, when I got here, they were like, so you're Greek. Why are you here? You know, kind of.
Yeah.
No, I love that. I love challenges. So, I have to defend myself all the time. Mm.
And is with new challenges, is that the reason why you're working this album in America for the first time?
Actually, the new challenge for me basically is not the language. I think it's just the messages and the feelings that music can communicate. You know, because it's amazing when I met Homer, for example, my producer. It's amazing that we have the same favorite movies or the same favorite bands, but we grew up in, you know, very different societies, very, very far away from each other. So it's amazing because when I did my first show here in New York last year, I could see the people, you know, accepting all these vibes of my music. And that was the best gift I could ever imagine, because you can realize that people is the same all around the world, you know, and especially through art. You know, it's all about the inside, and it's incredible.
So you think this probably hasn't been too many, but you think the crowds you've experienced in America are very similar in how they act to Greek crowds or anywhere else?
In America, the crowd is very honest. Let's say, I mean, if they like you, they will show it. If they don't, they will leaving. In Greece, they're having kind of medium standards. I mean, they get very easily excited. But even if they don't like something, they will be there, but they will be kind of, you know, accepting it, you know, they won't really like it. But what I like in US and in general, I mean, in everyday life, people are very straight and I love it. And that's a very actually beautiful challenge for me as well, that, you know, I'm coming from far away, but at the same time, if I make these people like me, it's honest, it's true. You know, it's happening. Yeah. It's very fast. You know, it's a very new society, US. And America is so modern and so powerful and so, I don't know, fast. You know, everything is happening so fast. And I love it. I love the rhythm of how things are happening here.
Yeah. Well, let's play a little bit of that new album. This song is called Secret in the Dark.
There's a secret in the dark. Hidden light behind the faces. I can feel it in the air. Hear the silence in the room. If I try to find the key.
So you mentioned Homer. That's Homer Steinweiss.
Exactly.
From the Dap Kings.
From the Dap Kings and the Manhattan Street Band. And now he's one of the members of ARCS, the new band of Dan Auerbach.
Right, right, yeah.
Yeah.
He's busy.
Yeah, he's very busy. But, you know, this guy is so talented. He's so incredible. So it's kind of logical that everybody wants him around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you grabbed some time with him.
Are you asking me the story of how we met or what?
For the album, you know.
Oh, for the album?
Yeah, because it was the Dap King's studio. It's in Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
right?
No, that was in Williamsburg.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there was a Danham Studios actually. It's you know, a baby label of Daptone Records.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just 3 years ago I went outside Danham Studios building and I was just staring at the building like, look, this is the building where all these amazing albums were recorded, and the door opened and it was Tommy Brennick, the guitar player from the Dap Kings, and Homer Steinwiss, and we kind of became friends, you know, right away that afternoon. And they were like, so you're a singer-songwriter, do you have any demos with you? And I played them some demos, and then they were like, oh, we could make an album together. I was like, seriously? I'm just a tourist here. But no, it's all about the chemistry, you know, between people. So as soon as me and Homer, as I said, we had the same favorite movies and, you know, the sense of humor was the same and we could hang. I believe that we could make a very beautiful album together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because I believe music is the conclusion of a good relationship. Yeah.
So what were these? You mentioned them twice. What were the movies and the music that you bonded over?
Oh, the movies. I don't know. Back to the Future.
Okay. Okay.
Things like this. You know, the Beatles, Kate Bush.
Yeah.
That was the main reference of our album. Big, very popular names, but even Madonna. But, you know, these are artists that I was always carrying with me, inside me, but I'd never had a, you know, someone to collaborate and take that out in terms of music. And because my two first albums were mostly ballads, because I've been listening to things like Rufus Wainwright or Anthony the Joneses, but I really wanted to make a disco album. But I mean, it's still a little bit melancholic. But you know, I never had someone to introduce me to Diana Ross productions.
Yeah,
I've always loved that, but I needed someone to tell me, this is the snare over there that makes the difference. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was like a whole new experience when I met Homer and he put me into that kind of vibes of playing and performing.
Yeah. There was one track from a couple years ago called Make Me Fly that you had that did remind me a little bit of.
That's amazing. You noticed that. Yeah. Make Me Fly was, thank you.
Yeah. It was the one track that I was like, okay, this is like, it sounds like this is the lineage of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was kind of the transition to this sound because it was the first song I wrote with up, it was kind of up tempo. But at the time I was recording in Berlin. So I was, I loved the whole experience, but I was not pretty satisfied with the production because it was too shiny, you know, for my taste. Because I love the analog sound. So I've always wanted to make an album that sounds like Make Me Fly, but it's going to be analog. It's going to be kind of rusty, you know, sound like having this feeling that it comes from another period of time or something, like from the 80s or the 70s. But thank you. Make Me Fly, it's one of my favorite songs, and actually it has a great feedback at my shows.
Yeah, I know I might be a dreamer. It's only my
like before this new album, it was probably like the song that made people just get up and dance the most.
Exactly,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It was kind of funny because the first time I played it live, it was at a great venue. It was a theater, but it was the live show was kind of it was a conceptual live. So everybody was seated, and I had the four screens on the back, and it was, you know, full of digital videos around me. So I wanted to, and everybody, you know, wanted to stand up and dance, but it was so, everything was so, you know, strict.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You couldn't use your phone. You couldn't have a drink with you. So it was funny because after the show, everybody was like, oh, should play this again to a club or something. Yeah. It was nice. Yeah, I want to re-record this song, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you're in America now. What's... How is, like, doing press in America different from, like, doing press in Greece?
it's beautiful because it's... I'm reintroducing myself. It's like I'm going back to 2009, when I started in Greece. So even if I'm carrying some years of experience and, you know, 3 albums with me, it's amazing that I can introduce myself to new people, and actually it helps me because I reconsider a lot of, you know, myself and my music journey. So it's basically similar to what I've been doing the early years of my music journey back in Greece. But the Americans, as I said, they give me very, you know, very powerful vibes and such a positive energy that it makes me really creative, and it inspires me a lot. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I moved to Los Angeles. I live there now. So basically, I want to spend as much time as I can here in US and just get the vibes of this society. I love, and just, you know, filter it and turn it into music.
Yeah,
for another album. But you know, you're nice. Everybody's nice.
Thank you.
Everybody's smiling. It's nice.
Yeah, I mean, you were saying how things move really quickly here, and I think people can be kind of fickle sometimes. I think that's the downside of, like, so much going on. But yeah, I would say that we're very positive, very encouraging.
Yeah.
That, you know, that, like, American dream kind of vibe.
Yeah, exactly. And you are. And I mean, you're so open-hearted, and everybody, even in the streets or if you need help and everything. I mean, Greeks are like this, of course. They're the same. But the last years we have, you know, the crisis and everything. Unfortunately, sometimes it makes people ill. You know, it's difficult times. Mm-hmm. So I love Greece. Always will always be my home. And, you know, I need to go back, like, sooner or later. And, you know, I've been going there very often. But, you know, Americans, I don't know, they give me something new and something challenging, which in combination to my Greek experience, for me, it's magical. I just love it. I want to be somewhere in between.
Yeah.
You know, my Greek character and my American new thing.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been in LA?
In LA? I moved there early September.
Okay.
Not that long.
So, like, month, a little bit more than a month.
A little bit
and
more.
Some of you've been traveling, obviously. So.
Yeah, I'm not an LA person yet.
Huh.
But it has a lot of similarities with Greece. Like, I can drive all the time, like the weather and the people, I guess. But New York gives me something so inspirational that I cannot find anywhere else in the world.
Yeah. Let's drop in another song. This one's called Stripping.
Right.
Drive. So how did you catch on with Other Music in America, your label?
Other Music.
Yeah.
That's another funny story that came up by chance. So my best friend and kind of my mentor, he's a DJ. So he knew just my deal from Other Music Recordings, and he wanted to interview him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that Other Music store in East Village is very popular, and we've been going there all the time. So Dimitris was like, I need to find this guy and just meet him and just, you know, talk to me about the history of this legendary music store. So his Joss colleague actually have heard the album through another friend of ours, another DJ. So when we went there for the interview, Joss was like, oh, so you're Monica and you don't have a label yet. I said, no. Mm-hmm. And like 2 weeks later, he called and he said, actually, I have a very serious proposal for you. You know, let's get in touch with your manager or your label in Greece. I really need to do this. And it was amazing because, you know, I truly believe this by heart, that the best things in life come from where you never expect them, you know. So Joss is incredible. He's such a believer to the album and all the team that I brought with me from Greece and the new team we're building here in America. And, you know, it's an honor for me to be part of that Other Music team and Fat Possum, mm-hmm. of course.
Yeah, Billboard's office, where we used to be about 2 months ago, was right a couple blocks away from
really?
Other Music. Yeah, so I've been there a bunch of times.
Exactly. And I live in 9th and A, so, you know, it's okay. Pretty close, and I love that neighborhood.
Yeah, we used to be at 9th and Broadway.
You miss that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've seen, this is for people listening, where we work near Grand Central Station now.
Yes.
Billboard does, so. I don't know, how would you compare this area to where Other Music is?
Yeah, let's don't forget that you're next to one of the most amazing buildings in the city.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you need any, I don't know, inspiration, like the East Village vibe, just go in there and look at the clock.
Yeah, it's true.
Right.
I also want to talk about, because I know you've probably talked about this a good amount, but it's really interesting, this sailing accident and how went through that, because
that sounds
crazy.
Bad. It's not bad, and actually, it happened to I happened to mention it to Joss, and actually to one of the members of the team we were working for the PR, and it was just an accident I had 3 years ago. You know, it's very common in Greece to travel by boat, in the islands. So there was a gas leak and there was kind of an explosion, and we had to jump into the water without life jackets and stuff. But it was incredible because at the time I was feeling very, very weak because of several personal issues. And, it was like a gift actually from life, because when I was swimming for 7.5 hours with my friend, and I was in a very bad situation when we reached the coast, the rocks actually. But the following day, you know, I had lost my eyesight and everything. And, you know, the following day, I was like, come on, you know, life is too short. Life is so beautiful. I should never be weak again. I should never be nervous or anything. So it was amazing. And of course, everybody was saved, the five of us, because there were three more people that they stayed behind and they were rescued by a sailing boat. But I was swimming, in the dark sea at night with very big waves. And, you know, it was kind of amazing because while I was swimming, I was telling to myself, how is this happening in 2012 with Wi-Fi, mobile phones, iPhones, Mac, laptops and everything? And the only thing I have here with me to rescue myself is my body and my brain. That's all I have, and the moon, you know. And it was, you know, it was very, very strange feeling. And, you know, okay, I'm a good swimmer because I windsurf, but still, it was terrifying. And anyway, yeah. But me and my friend, the good thing was that we were never panicked.
Mm-hmm.
So, from the following day, everything from scratch, I started writing songs, and not only songs, I started writing poems and texts, and I was talking about this to all the people I met, because, you know, if I meet someone that he has a very you know, a great story to tell me. I'm trying to learn from him. So even my friends and everybody in my family, okay, they were terrified. Even Antonis was, he couldn't work for a week. Mm-hmm. He couldn't realize it. But, you know, it will always be a very good story to tell to someone in order to encourage him and to inspire him. So I'm very, very proud and very, very thankful for this experience.
Right. I mean, yeah. for swimming 7.5 hours, you seem very calm with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But still, can you imagine how many similar accidents happen all around the world, and there are so many victims? And now with the, you know, with the refugees, we have a serious problem in Greece. There are so many souls lost. So it's a serious thing. And the sea is very dangerous.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, but it's a huge thing. A huge monster out there that you cannot play with it.
Yeah, well, that's really inspiring. And, you know, as long as you've got that in the press release, people like me are always going to ask about it. So,
but I don't want to take advantage of it. You know what I mean? It's like it's a great story that it gave me a lot of power and a lot of positive, you know, a different positive aspect in my life. But it's, you know, not too hot, not too cold, but just an accident.
Yeah.
It was just an accident.
Yeah, and also was curious more about just what it's like in this. You said this is like the start of phase two in America, pushing your music. What it was like in phase one, getting as big as you were in Greece. Like, what does that take? Like, how does that happen? What's it like there?
What do you mean to become?
Becoming a popular singer in Greece.
Oh, actually, in Greece, you know, I was at the right time. I met the right people because it was 2009, I guess 2008, and I was studying at university. I never had ambitions of becoming a singer or anything, but I was a musician. I was a session musician to a lot of bands in Greece. And as I said, there was a very popular Greek community of English bands, of, you know, English music, rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
So I was lucky enough to be one of them because I started writing in English, and the English music was not that popular in Greece at the time from Greek artists. You know, it's kind of a strange situation. In Greece, all the bands from all around the world are accepted very, very warmly that they sing in English. But if you're a Greek artist, it was kind of weird. But my songs had something very Greek inside them. Maybe the tempo, maybe the chords, I don't know. So it was amazing that within a year I was playing in 6,000 people in the biggest theaters in Greece. But as I said, I was lucky enough to have a song that became a huge hit in Greece, in English language. But I don't know. I can't explain. It was amazing because we were touring and we were going to villages, and you could see all women that they don't speak English, and they were singing. They were trying to capture the words or the vowels of the thing I was singing. And it was great. Yeah. And still it's great. It's wonderful. Greece gives, it's so inspirational. And I, you know, from the first moment I became kind of successful in Greece, even though I don't like this word, I was trying not to get bored of it, not to be fed up of the success or everything. I was trying to giving new challenges to myself and to the people as well. Because, you know, not only in Greece, I believe all around the world, if you have a success, the easiest thing you can do is just to repeat it. You know, it's kind of a, you know, like a standard success round two.
Right.
But in Greece, I was trying not to do that many concerts. Every time I had a concert, I wanted it to be special and amazing. So step by step, you know, I was creating, I don't know, a character, a music character in Greece that luckily it was accepted very, very well. And it goes on still. I mean, in the summer, we had great shows and an amazing tour in Greece.
Right.
But, it's, you know, I was trying not to be burned, you know. So that's what I want to do in US and all around the world as well, because, you know, I want to be interesting for me, first of all, and then, you know, for everybody else.
Yeah, yeah. So you grew up in Athens, right?
I grew up in a very, very small town up in the mountains in the middle of Greece.
Okay.
Yeah. It's close to a ski center. I was skiing every day.
Okay. So very different from Athens.
Very different. I went to Athens to study mathematics.
Okay.
I studied mathematics.
Okay. So, and like you were mentioning touring Greece, is it getting big in Athens and like with the media and everything there and then catching on everywhere else?
Yeah, exactly. Because Athens, even though it's the capital of Greece, it has a very small society of, you know, the music scene. It's kind of approachable from all sides. So since I met my manager and my label, Archangel Music in Greece, actually they did an amazing work of connecting me to the right people. I mean, to an amazing booking agency and stuff. So those booking agencies were very, very successful already, because in Greece there is a very popular folk society, folk industry, you know, mm-hmm. Greek folk industry. So when I entered that era, I was singing in English, but everybody could handle me very easily. So you're playing there. So, you know, and I was already connected kind of because of the bands I was playing with as a session musician. So it was kind of easy, because we had a good album, like Different, that was approachable to all the radio stations. I had very good agencies around me, and only, you know, the only thing I had to do was just to give them more and more good material.
So yeah.
They helped me get focused on music and nothing else.
Right.
That's amazing. That's the dream of every artist, I guess. Yeah. You know, not to have to deal with management and marketing and stuff.
Yeah. So it seems like you've been mentioning that you sort of have to come correct with singing English in Greece, but it was made easier for you because you were performing in a style of music that was already well accepted there.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. I was, I was playing a lot of acoustic shows with my acoustic guitar, and also I had some ballads. They reminded Greek songs, but it was in English. Mm-hmm. So, as I said, it was one of the very, very charming challenges I find here in US, because it was the same in Greece. I was trying to figure out if the people, you know, care about the words that much, or it's just the vibes of the melodies they mm-hmm. you know, they accept. So it is amazing feeling when I'm on stage and I play my music and I just, you know, look at the people's eyes and they're traveling, you know, they're somewhere else. And that's the most amazing feeling. I don't know.
Yeah, because you mentioned that the people in the villages who you didn't think spoke English. So they're, unless they learn, they translated it really quick.
Exactly.
They're not on the lyrics.
Exactly. And you said this, they had to translate it. That's the main thing. Even the, the interviewers, the journalists were asking me, why do you kind of ask people to translate your words? And I was telling them, because I don't want the words to be their first reaction. You know, because words, you know, it's beautiful, right? Mm-hmm. It's poetry. But on the other hand, music can become so powerful if you don't understand the words right away. And it's amazing, because here I have the exactly opposite thing. And I have my producer and my musicians, they tell me, you should focus on the words mostly. So as I said, it's a whole new world for me, because now I have the school of music vibes, because I'm obsessed with melodies. I'm obsessed with the harmonies and stuff. I love classical music, and I love cinematic music. Mm-hmm. So if I add beautiful words on it, it's, you know, above it, it's like the best. It's a nice, I don't know how to explain, music in our lives, it's here to make us, I don't know, to travel us to a different dimension. Mm. If I have a good package of it, then, you know, I can fly away, I can take the people, the crowd and the listeners to wherever they want.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, so this was before we, I think right before we started the podcast, we were talking about the other languages you speak.
Oh, yeah.
So you also speak Italian and French.
Yeah, Italian not that well anymore. And French, yes.
Okay. Je parle French. So when in your life now, if ever, do you speak them?
Oh, I speak them when I go to France. Actually, we're playing at a great festival at Rennes, Trans Musicale, in December. So I have to refresh my friends over there. And also, I have a lot of friends that visit Greece every summer. So, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you always do press in English? Or will you go to France and like, or Italy and speak in Italian with them?
That's a good idea. I hope I can do that in France. Yeah, I was in Paris this winter, and I exercised my friends a little bit, and I think I was good. That's a good idea. I will have to exercise a little bit before I go.
Yeah, because I mean, I've never been to France, but I get the sense that there, more so than other countries, they expect you to speak French.
You're so right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even in Italy.
There too.
Not a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people talk English, but, you know, if you go to the countryside, they're not very familiar with it.
They're not going to have it.
Yeah. I know. But in Greece, it's what they say that, you know, in Greece, most of the people speak English. And they're like, why should he talk English all the time? They should learn Greek. You know, the tourists should learn Greek. So maybe I should stop talking English. You should learn Greek.
That would be good.
Are you in the mood?
What would be a good phrase to learn in Greek? What is what would be like the most useful things to learn if I was like just going to Athens, or maybe the countryside, because they would probably speak English in Athens.
Yeah, so in countryside, I don't know. Πού είναι η καλύτερη παραλία? Where's the greatest beach?
Where's the greatest beach?
To swim at. I don't know, or Calimera, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah. I feel like directions would be a good...
directions.
Asking for directions is always a good go-to.
All right. Πώς μπορώ να πάω στη ταβέρνα? How can I go to the tavern?
Oh my God.
Πώς μπορώ
να πάω
στη ταβέρνα.
Στη ταβέρνα.
See?
What is... That was just me trying very quickly to keep up. What does my accent sound like?
It's great.
It's great. It sounds great.
Yeah, because we have the same, you know, vowels and stuff with English.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't want to hear a French person talk Greek.
What is that like?
So, you know, French people, I have a French friend that he wants to say, I want to go to work. Every morning, hey, Monica, I go to work. Mm-hmm. They can say you are. So if you tell them tavern, they will be... Popo napao tavea. It will be like this. I don't know, I guess. Sorry if I, you know, if there's any
if
French
you upset
people.
Any French listeners.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
I got tons of French listeners.
Oh no. Okay, bye bye. See you later. Thanks for being here.
Actually, I had one French artist on. They're a band called The Doe.
Really?
Have you ever heard of them?
I think so. The name sounds familiar.
It's like the D-O, and there's like a line through the O of the D.
All right. It's not Dodos. It's D-O.
Not Dodos. Oh, okay, not, okay. I know that, that band. I know them too, but
they're
American.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
They're American, but you said they're...
No, the Dodos are an American band.
So the French band lives in France or here?
I think they live in France now. They're right. From France. They're French.
Right.
They may have been over here for working the album.
All right.
But I think they... No, I remember from the podcast, they are still based in France.
You know, France has an amazing music industry. And also, it's remarkable that my album is accepted very, very well in France already. And I don't know. Seriously, all the bands and even the labels are great there. I don't know. It's like, you know, in Europe, I believe France is, it's a reborn, you know, in some way. I don't know. They have such a, you know, the rap music scene is so powerful. They have R&B bands, even bands like The Phoenix, you know, or like, you know, I think Portishead were from France, or, you know, they're huge. They have a great, great air.
era.
No, great references. Amazing music industry.
Yeah, and when we were talking about language and singing in your native language, I was thinking of Yael. Are you familiar with them? Because they sing in French. They're French and they sing in French.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that could work. But as I said, if there would be a language I could speak very clearly and open, would be Greek.
Mm.
But I'm writing a Greek album, actually.
Oh, okay.
These days, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I need it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't just bring up Yael to say, you should be singing in Greek.
No, of course not. No. But it's good. Languages are good. And it's good to experiment.
Yeah. Do you have any idea of, like, releasing or recording this the Greek album, or is that just, like, in the early stages?
No, I would like to release it.
Oh, so it's, like, ready. You've got recordings.
I have eight very good songs. When I have 15 good songs, I'm going to go to the studio.
Okay.
Yeah. But they have to be good in terms of honesty and feelings. You know, I don't want to do anything in my life that comes from ambition or feedback. It has to start from the heart. So that's why I you know, step by step, I'm taking my time. When I've been writing this Greek album since 2012 or something.
Okay.
So, you know, step by step. When I have it ready, it's gonna be good, I think. And I'll send it to the US as well.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
We'll introduce you to Greek music with the bouzouki. I do have an English song that it's actually a totally Greek song, but with English lyrics. And I use bouzouki in that. And it's a wedding song. It's called Yes, I Do. And, I don't know. I love it because, you know, it's very traditional Greek song, but in English.
So you translated it?
Yeah. No, I wrote it in English right away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's my song.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
When you said traditional, I thought you meant like a traditional.
No, but it reminds all of these traditional songs. And, I would love to play this at a wedding.
Americans like wedding songs.
Yeah,
they do well here.
I know. Yeah, it's like it talks about a prince that sings to the princess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very romantic.
Very romantic.
Probably would do well here.
Yeah, and it says that now we're kissing and we're saying to each other just a little I do, but the thing we really want to say, it cannot be said.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And things like this.
Yeah,
romantic stuff,
okay.
You know.
Okay. So lastly, I found that I went through the Greek single charts right now, the top songs in Greece, and I found the top few that I had never heard of before.
Really?
Some of them are just songs about like the new Justin Bieber song. Yeah.
Or Uptown Funk.
Yeah, Uptown Funk, Lean On, the Major Lazer song, that's one that's really popular. But I found some here that I've never heard of before.
Oh, that's interesting.
What I want you to just tell me. I've never heard them. Just tell me what they're like.
What do you
or
mean?
For the first one's it's by Antonis Rimos, and
that's amazing.
Did I butcher that name?
So as I said, in English, the music in English language, even me that I play in those theaters, we're the minority. Right?
Yeah.
It's like, can you imagine being in a country with a great history and very, very big folk music, because we have the rebetiko from, you know, the 19th century, and after the World War, we have the Greek folk music.
Mm-hmm.
So Antonis Rimos, he has an amazing voice, but he sings these songs, right? The folk Greek songs, new songs sometimes, but he is huge, of course. But you know, he refers to Greek people in Greek language. But I never followed him. You know, I've been once to one of his shows, but it's this traditional thing that you can throw flowers and you can throw plates on the floor, and this is something very traditional that I truly respect it, because it's inside me, right? I'm Greek and I have to know this and I love it. But when you grow up in don't know, with friends that, you know, keep on listening to music from USA, from England, from abroad, you don't have time or energy to get into that. But if we, I mean, in an amount of people, like, let's say we have 10 people in Greece, or 10 friends of mine,
mm-hmm.
8 of them, they know, they go to Antonis Ramos live shows, and 2 of them will go to, one of them will go to Interpol's, right, or
okay.
Arcade Fire.
Okay.
And maybe, you know, 2 of them will know who Arcade Fire are. But Antonis Ramos fans, they will all hear to Madonna, Bieber, you know, like, or Uptown Funk and stuff like this. It's like the mainstream.
Okay.
Thing. I don't know, Antonis, am I right? Yeah. Yeah.
And sounds like his music sounds very different from those.
You know, this artist, they basically take a lot of references from abroad, but they turn it into a Greek, you know, I don't know, into Greek aesthetics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they talk about love and, you know, breaking up. And
yeah.
But I wouldn't say they're more live shows artists. You know, they have huge successes and hits on the radio stations. But I don't think they will basically pay attention to the production of an album or anything. Seriously, to be clear, I don't want to tell more about things because I don't want to, you know, to sound rude or anything.
Yeah.
Because it's something I never followed and,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was always there, but, you know,
okay.
I was kind of avoiding it.
Yeah. The second one it's called De Su Aniko by someone called Stan.
Who?
That is how...
Stan, oh, the Suaniko. This is a rap or an R&B kind of
a mix of rap and R&B.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So yeah, these guys are definitely doing great work because they're taking references from abroad and they're turning into the Greek music industry.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all Greeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there's another track called Spasta. This is a funny one.
I don't know. Seriously, all these songs, I've never heard them.
Oh, you've never heard you've never heard the songs.
No.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, because even if I'm driving my car, okay, if I break up and I'm in a really bad mood and I want to hear something, you know, to dance like in a folk way, maybe I'll listen to them. But it's what, you know, some of the radio stations I would rather not, you know, listen to.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like, you know, like the kind of music you like. I mean, when you're in your office, at your office or in your car, if there's a, I don't know, mariachi band playing, you might not be in the mood of listening to that, right? It's different kinds of, you know, music. So, yeah, I've never followed this artist's or songs.
Not the biggest radio fan.
It's
not your go-to.
Let's say it's kind of two different worlds, right? It's like because we have a very, as I said, strong traditional folk industry and another indie society.
Mm.
So these guys are a majority, you know, because it's for it's the easy kind of easy listening to everybody's ears, and also these guys every year they have a new success. You know, it's like I guess industry in U.S. or worldwide, like you know, pop artists. They're pop stars, and they're very famous. They're very popular. You know, they're out in the magazines and stuff. But I was never that kind of artist.
Okay.
Even if I was asked to sometimes to get into that thing, I don't want to be recognized, you know, by face. I no, sometimes it feels like prison. But they are pop stars, and we're something.
Okay.
We're the minority.
Mm.
Yeah, we're the weird ones. Let's say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting learning about this because there's definitely parallels to how music works here to that, and then again, some of it is different.
Yeah, but for example, I mean, the listeners of Antonis Ramos and my listeners would all go to Robbie Williams' show.
Okay.
You know what I mean? They're like, you know, there's this kind of music society in Greece that you hear these great hits, but if you're a more specific fan of something else, there are some things that get us all united.
Okay.
You know, like big brands, like, as I said, Robbie or the Black Keys came this summer to Greece and they had like 30,000 people, or like Robbie Williams, or I don't know what other bands.
That's interesting, because the Black Keys are really big here now in America, but yeah. Robbie Williams not so much.
Yeah, but honestly, Robbie Williams' show was one of the greatest nights I've ever had.
Cool.
I loved it. Were you there? Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, or Lana Del Rey. Pop stars. Let's say pop. You know.
From what you've been describing, I can definitely see how Lana Del Rey catches on in Greece. Yeah, I love her new album.
Yeah, that's why I'm telling you that it was a great, an amazing success that we ended up playing in this theater. Because can you imagine that in this world, there's a team of people that we're trying to make popular something in English language, or something that we are Greeks, but we sing something more rock, pop and rock.
Yeah.
So that was amazing, and I'm very thankful. But you cannot avoid this. And honestly, it's good to have it, because something different. And I guess that Antonis Remos, he can easily have live shows all around the world, but with Greek audience. You know?
Okay.
So, but that's a success again.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, you know, the Greek community all around the world following a pop star like him? That's huge.
Mm.
It's alive.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And we cannot become, you know, because in Greece, if all the artists turned into international artists, then maybe we would lose this folk, piece of music we carry with us. The only thing the only thing they do in Greek, it's just the language. They copy international music, pop music, and they just add Greek words. I would love to hear more traditional music, you know, melodies and music.
Okay.
But we have some huge artists in Greece that they do that. I just hope we will have more and more.
Mm.
Like we have Yanis Haroulis. He's a very, very popular Greek songwriter that he plays, you know, music from the 60s, and he writes this kind of music. He's amazing. Or Malamas, you know. I personally prefer this kind of music, Greek music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, now that you're doing your time here, it seems like if it's something that you want to do, it can help prop up and like spread the word about other people from Greece.
Exactly. I mean, seriously, I was telling one of my friends last night that it's not a personal success if this album becomes big in the US. It's just a very good chance for me to promote the Greek the vibes, the Greek beauty, you know, because I believe that I could have a live show with Sigrid in the Dark, but on the encore, I would love to play Greek song. And I always do that in my shows in Greece. I always sing something in Greek, just, you know, as a signature. So that would be amazing. And I believe that, according to the American friends that visit Greece every summer, they love Greek music. And some of them, even my producer Homer Stanwis, were like, what is this? You know, I've never heard this beat before. Like, what is it? And I told him, this is folk music, you know. It's nice.
It's folk music.
Folk music. Yep.
Well, that's all I have at my end. So, if there's anything else.
Right,
that was really fun. Thanks for stopping by.
Oh, no, guys, it was incredible. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I learned a lot.
I learned a lot as well.
So that concludes another episode of the Alt in Our Stars podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast by clicking the iTunes link towards the bottom of the story. That is, if you're viewing the story on billboard.com. If you're not, you can just head over to iTunes, use your podcast app or whatever. Search for the Alt in Our Stars on there, and you can subscribe As You Wish. And also, there's archived episodes there, lots of fun stuff lately. We've had Magical Clouds, Bully, The Wonder Years, so all sorts of fun artists on the podcast, so check those out. And until next week, you know, the podcast runs every Friday afternoon on Billboard. Take care. Have a good weekend. Peace out.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.